Our subject today is gnashing of teeth. Most unusual message I've ever been called on to preach. Had not the understanding of that phrase like I wanted to for all of my Christian life. And the Lord has shown it to us to warn us to be careful that we can be filled with demonic influences. But thanks be to God, James talks about you can't have sweet water and bitter water coming out of the same fountain. So if you are born again, you are born of the Holy Spirit. And he is that fountain, Jesus said in John chapter 7. Out of his belly, innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. So the Christian can be influenced by the demonic forces, but he can't be infilled with them. Thanks be to God for that. Just to get our phrase out of the Bible and make sure that we stay close to the scriptures, let us read John 8:12 once again. But the children of the kingdom, that is, those people who were natural born Israelites but didn't receive Christ, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. What goes on in outer darkness? There shall be weeping, and here's our phrase, gnashing of teeth. Horrible pain. We said in our earlier lesson, the gnashing means to grate the teeth in pain or rage. Not only raging against God's true people and Christ, but in horrible pain, outer darkness. Let us read some more scriptures and see how this thing comes up. Matthew chapter 22, verse 12. Matthew 22:12. We'll see that Jesus spoke of this often. That's why I want to read these verses to you. Matthew 22:11-12. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. That is, a man trying to pass himself off as a Christian and get the benefits of Christ's redemption, but he did not have righteousness. The wedding garment is the righteousness of the saints. Verse 12 of Matthew 22. And he said unto him, this is amazing to me, Jesus called Judas friend, and he calls this man friend. How camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. There's nothing you can say. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's again the Lord Jesus speaking of gnashing of teeth. Excuse me. Man, had my flu shot yesterday, and I think I'm sneezing as a result of it. That may not be true. All right, let's go on to the next one. In Matthew chapter 25, Matthew 25, verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him. So this is the parable of the talents. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness again. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus constantly brings that up, that those people who are hypocrites and trying to pass themselves off as believers when they actually are not, then Jesus says, take away that which they do have and cast them into outer darkness. Outer darkness seems to go with gnashing of teeth. Turn to the book of the Revelation. The book of the Revelation. First of all, to chapter 9. verse number 1 and 2. Revelation 9, 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven. That's happened in our day. Those stars were supposed to guide humankind. Those stars were supposed to illuminate humankind in the darkness of the night. But they've fallen from heaven. We've got a bunch of lecturers in the pulpits who are there for gain, for money. We need God-called men. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star. And if you'll read Revelation 1, 19 and 20, and chapter 2 and verse 1, you find the stars are the ministers of God that he holds in his right hand. I saw a star fall from heaven. He falls from the heavenly spiritual things unto the earth, to the earthly things. He that is of the earth is earthy. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. What comes out? There arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. That's where this darkness comes from. Demon-possessed preachers passing themselves off as men of God and leaving the gospel, preaching a social gospel, if any gospel at all. They let out the darkness of the smoke that clouds out and diminishes the light of the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we are in America today. Turn on over to Revelation 16, verse number 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. God is going to deal with these who are promoting lies and darkness. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. When they cannot have individual to gnash their teeth upon, for we told you that gnashing is described as the grating of the teeth, either in pain or rage. And if they don't have anybody they can rage against, then they gnaw their own tongue. They go from gnashing of the teeth to the gnawing of the tongue. And they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Don't expect them to. Why? Sows and dogs. They're not going to get out of their sin. They're going to blaspheme God and blame everything on God. Why'd you let this happen to me? You know, here I am, a pastor of this big church and drawing in all this big crowd and so forth. Don't matter. Dear soul, there's still sows and dogs. God said, be careful. Not only will they gnash with their teeth, but the pain will get so great and they will be exposed by the light of the gospel of Christ in such a way that they'll gnaw their own tongues. Isn't that amazing? Deep anguish. Look at Amos chapter 8, the book of Amos. Chapter number 8, verses 9 and 10. Amos 8, verses 9 and 10. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day, and I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring upon sackcloth, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. We found in Revelation 16 that the darkness has such an effect upon these people, that it brings pain. Dear soul, you cannot walk away from God. You cannot, after you have known the way of righteousness, turn and walk away from it without there being some consequence. And he says that kind of darkness, they will gnaw their own tongue and blaspheme God. Man was made to walk in the presence of God. Satan has been determined to destroy that ever since God created man and put him in the Garden of Eden. So the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that they might have life. So we see that God shall send strong delusion, that they might believe a lie and be damned. This is God, friend. He's not going to put up with this. You must understand that God, in all of his holiness, he must not only rejoice in righteousness, but he must also hate iniquity. He can't be holy without both of them. He must rejoice in righteousness, but despise sin and iniquity. And that's what he says he's doing here in Amos chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, while you are in the brightness of your religious hypocrisy. And you think everything's so great. I'm so great. We're enjoying ourselves. Having a big time over here. He said, in that day, I will cause that light to go down and diminish and be gone in its noonday brightness. I will darken the earth in the clear day. That's what he said. Shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. Listen. And I will turn your feasts into mourning. What kind of mourning and sadness is it going to be? It's going to be such mourning that you'll gnaw your tongue. Have you ever bit your tongue? Ooh, that hurts. But these people are going to gnaw their tongue in order to try to have some kind of release from the pain that they have, which goes beyond just physical pain. What kind of mourning is it? And I will make it as the mourning of an only son. You had one child. You loved that boy. Everything that you had was in him. And he died. What kind of sorrow is there going to be? Deeper and more extenuous than any other kind of sorrow. He was the only son. Now my name is cut off on the earth. There is nobody to continue my name. But not only that. That was my darling son. I loved him. We were good friends. We enjoyed each other. Gone. You say, that's a horrible, horrible mourning. And God said, okay, keep that in mind and understand that that's the kind of mourning, mourning, grieving that you're going to have when I send this day of darkness in which there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where they shall blaspheme God and gnaw their tongues for the pain. That's the kind of mourning that it shall be. Isaiah 59, the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verse number 9. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. We wait for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope. What does that cause you to do? We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We're alive, but we're in desolate places as dead men. Why? How did they get in this condition? God did it. Why? because they hated the light, neither cometh to the light, because their deeds were evil. Therefore, the condemnation abides upon them. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse number 16. Give glory to the Lord your God before he calls darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turned it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. And the prophet said, but if y'all will not hear this, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. I told him and I told him and I told him and I told him. Isaiah said, how long, O Lord, have I got to keep doing this? They're not listening. They're not hearing. They're not turning from their ways. He said, until every house is empty and every situation is desolate. You keep it up until there is total judgment upon this land and it has been destroyed completely. That's God, dear friend. You're not up against, you know, a man. You're up against God. Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me, and God takes it personal. Wherefore God shall send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie and be damned. My goodness, what a mess. Can you find Zephaniah? The book of Zephaniah, not Zechariah, but Zephaniah. Come before Haggai. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is the day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess. It's a day of darkness. Days are supposed to be light. Night's supposed to be darkness. But it shall be a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities, and against the high towers. You're going to hear the trumpet blowing with the armies coming into your place and going to destroy your city. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Dear soul, you're not up against that person you hate, that gospel preacher or whoever it is you hate. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians, 6:12, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Be careful, dear friend. You may say, well, I don't like his preaching. I'm leaving here. And I'm going to smear him and ruin him every way I can. Go ahead. But you're not going to hurt that preacher. You're going to hurt yourself. Because you've chosen to stand against God, not him. God is going to do this. And it is a day of gnashing of teeth. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. And I want to tell you, I was surprised to find this in the first part of the book of Proverbs. I didn't remember that this was in here. But I'm glad God has brought it back up so that I can bring it to you, trying to be faithful to give you everything God has given me. Proverbs 1:24. This is God talking. Because I called and ye refused. God said, I called you, but you shook your head and said, I'm not coming. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Can you see the mama or the daddy telling the little child, come on, come to mama, come to daddy. And they say, no, I'm not coming. That's what he's showing you here as what is going on with Israel as relating to God. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I don't like that preacher. Makes me feel bad. Well, dear soul, I'm going to tell you something. I relish every message that brings me to the place to where it makes me feel bad so that I can have some introspection, so that I can search my soul. Search me, O Lord, and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So I would rather have myself go away from a church service feeling scared, feeling afraid, feeling like I have not measured up, and have that bring me to a place of greater relationship with God than going away happy and, oh boy, didn't we have a good time doing that fun today, and die and go to hell. Listen. You have set at naught my counsel and would none of my reproof. Now listen at Proverbs 1:26. I will laugh at your calamity. That's God talking. God said, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Who are you going to call when your fear cometh? Well, I'm going to call on the Lord. He said, I'm not going to hear you because you didn't hear me. You didn't come to me, so I'm not going to come to you. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Oh, my soul. We quote that verse all the time, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Yep, that's a good verse, nothing wrong with it. But we need to be careful that we don't promise ourselves that whatever condition we're in, whether we're living right with God or not, whether we are abiding in the Spirit of God or quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit, that we can just have God anytime we want him. This one says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. I ain't listening to that preacher. He reproves me and convicts me, and I'm not going to listen to it anymore. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and shall be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. You treated those people bad? God said that's what's going to cause your death. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the abundance of fools shall destroy them. You said, oh boy, everybody that has a lot and got plenty of money and rich, that's who we want to hang around. We don't want to stay around these people that are poor, have nothing. God said, that's what's going to slay you. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me, listen, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I am so glad he put that verse in there. That's Proverbs 1:33. That's the end of the chapter. Let me read it to you again. But, contrary to these other things, whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. It shall not come nigh thee. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. You shall not be afraid of the terror of night or the arrow that flieth by day. God's going to take care of you. Why? Because you hearkened unto him and you believed his word and you humbled yourself and you walked around as it were spiritually in sackcloth and ashes and confessed your sins to God. And you had an humble spirit, and that's where God dwells, in an humble heart. So the gnashing of teeth doesn't take place with that kind of person. It takes place with what we read you in verses 24 through 32, 24 through 32 of Proverbs chapter 1. That's the way that it happened. So we see that these things are terrible, that you're dealing with God, not just a denomination, not just a certain preacher that you do or don't like. You're dealing with God Almighty. Now, brother preacher, can you give us any hope? Yep. Exodus chapter 10. Let me put some salve on your wounds. But it's not my salve, it's not religion's salve, it's God's salve. Listen, in Exodus chapter 10 and verse number 21, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness that can be felt. They're going to gnaw their tongues. Darkness that can be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand unto heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Thick darkness. That ain't normal darkness. You know, you say, well, this quilt on my bed is thick. It keeps me warm during the cold winter. Yep. You say, I can't hardly drink this milkshake. I can't suck it up through this straw. I'm having to use a spoon. Why? Because it's a thick milkshake. But have you ever seen thick darkness? We're not just talking about midnight. We're talking about when all the light of life and of salvation goes out in a man's heart. When God has removed himself from them, it's a thick darkness, and it lasted 3 days. They saw not one another. One of the things that I keep hearing in this day of this plague, and there's, I think it's 114,000 people come down with this plague in America every day. 2,000 people are dying of it every day. And the one thing that I keep hearing is, I sure do miss getting together with other people. And I wonder if that's not why God, part of why God sent the plague upon us to start with, is that we were too much with one another and we were not enough with God. Listen. He said, and they saw not one another. This is Exodus 10:23. Neither rose any from his place for 3 days. Mama, the baby's crying in the back room. I can't leave my chair. Why? Because I don't know where the back room is. I can't. This is a thick darkness. It is so thick that I can't get up out of my chair. I don't know whether I'll be stumbling into something and hurt myself. I cannot. I can't go to them. And the husband can't go to the wife, and the boss can't go to the one that's working for him, and the nurse can't go to the sick. Everybody has to sit or stand still exactly where they are for 3 days. Can't eat, can't drink, can't fellowship with one another. Why? Because you have aggravated God so much in denying him that he is going to say, all right, I'm going to remove all my blessings, and one of my blessings is giving you light wherein you might have fellowship one with another human being. And you went about what you thought was just normal life. Well, the baby's crying. Okay, here, take this. I got to go see about the baby. And go in there and bounce him and talk to him and, you know, make sure he's all right. And you thought that was just normal. That was a blessing. And God said, I'm going to fix it so you don't have any of that. And the only thing you can do in this thick darkness is consider yourself and the one that brought you the darkness. You're not going to ignore God. And you're not going to substitute human companionship for the relationship with God. He that hateth not his mother and father and his wife and his children and his house and his land cannot be my disciple. I came not to send peace on earth, Matthew chapter 10, but a sword. Where does the sword fall? In the family, separating the father from the son-in-law, the mother from the daughter-in-law. When one of the human beings on earth dies, everybody's left behind. You can't say another word to them. You can't do another deed for them. You may gather together with everybody that's left at the funeral home, if you can even go to the funeral home in these days, but you can't contact that person. And God's saying, I'm going to give you previews of coming attractions. Yep, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. It's going to happen. You're going to face God one-on-one. But this is going to be a blessing in that I'm going to let you see how it is so that it can make some impression upon your heart and mind, and you will stop trying to substitute fellowship with God with fellowship with human beings. Be still and know that I am God. They sat in their place for three days. It was a thick darkness. Chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. If I can get to it. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 21. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Dear soul, you believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For I'm going to the cross to prepare a place for you. And if I go to the cross and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. It doesn't matter how thick the darkness is. It doesn't matter how terrified you are of the darkness. You need to understand, and that's what the darkness will do, give you opportunity to understand and perceive the holiness and the character and the being of God. It says in verse 21 of chapter 20 of Exodus that God was in the darkness, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. I don't understand that, but that's how it is. Psalm 97, verse 1 and 2. The Lord rejoiceth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitudes of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Just because the Bible starts off with darkness was upon the face of the deep, it didn't mean that God wasn't there. This verse says in Psalm 97, verse 2, clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Maybe you have been exposed only to the light of God. But God would have you now come to understand him in a fuller and more complete way. Now God will have you sit in thick darkness. But that's where God is. Psalm 107, verse 9. Psalm 107, verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. That's the problem. Was the relationship with God that caused the darkness. Therefore he brought them down. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Hopelessness has to get to us before we can turn to God as we should. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. God's just waiting to hear you cry. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We must through much afflictions enter the kingdom of heaven. And he said, you shall find rest to your souls. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. Whose bands? He broke death and darkness. He broke their bands. They can't hold you anymore. And break their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. But we're not going to praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works until we understand how hopeless and helpless and fearful it is to be encased in darkness where there is gnashing of teeth. God, deliver us from that. Deliver me from the darkness without by delivering me from the darkness within. Here's how he did it. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 45. Do you remember what Jesus said about himself in John 8:12? He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall have the light of life. Isn't that good? But listen at this verse, Matthew 27 and verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, my soul, the light of the world, the light of life, in him there is no darkness at all. He is the very glory and image of God. He experienced that darkness and cried out, not my Father, but my God. Like the sinner cries out, my God, my God. He entered into that darkness so that he might save us from that eternal darkness. And he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Does that help you? Isn't that good salve? Why, sure it is. Christ entered it for you. Romans chapter 13. The book of Romans, chapter number 13, beginning with verse number 11. Romans 13, 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day, eternal day, is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, nor in strife and envy. Not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Isn't that good? The Lord has done it for us, and He will do it with us. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Dear soul, I may be bringing up thoughts and understandings in your heart right now as you listen to this message, but I don't know your heart, and I can't go with you through your darkness. Even if I tried to go with you through your darkness, I could not be the kind of help that you need. There's only one person, the living Christ, that can go with you through your darkness. He has overcome it. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear. Why? Next phrase, for thou art with me. He's the only one you can trust in. I'm glad you have a good friend. I'm glad you have a close companion. I'm glad that you have comfort from other human beings, but you're going to have to walk into death itself, draw that last breath, and stand in the presence of God where you have never been before, and you're going to need that dying grace that God promises that He would give to His elect. You're going to need Christ. You can't have people to go with you through everything. Children can't always have their parents. They die. God removes them. Why? Now it's time for you to step up. That generation's gone. Now you're that generation. And learn to walk with God. The reason that you had mamas and daddies and people like that was to train you and teach you, to bring you to the place to where you stand before God yourself. That's what it's all about. He's the one that saved you. He's the only one that can keep you. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The day star is the sun, S-U-N. And we're not talking about science, the sun coming up in the morning and dispelling the darkness of the night. We're talking about what that symbolizes, that which that implies. It is there to show you that when you go into darkness, you need to trust the Lord. Take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. He will not leave me or forsake me. He hath not left me alone. He will not leave you alone. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. He's the only one that conquered death, hell, and the grave. Do you know of any friend you have that had done that? No. Do you have a mama and daddy or a companion that has done that for you? No. But I can tell you one that has done it for you. The Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I got room for you. I'm going to the cross to prepare a place for you, and I will come and receive you unto myself. Oh, my soul. Let's finish up Exodus chapter 14. We studied about the darkness in Egypt. Let's go a little further. Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. And while they're leaving Egypt, and Pharaoh and all his chariots and horses are pursuing them, listen. And the angel of God, who you think that is? There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He represents Christ. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, he was out in front of them, showing them where they were to walk, guiding them and leading them, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And that pillar came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Now listen. And it was a cloud and darkness unto the Egyptians. But it gave light by night to these Israelites, so that the one came not near the other all the night. You need to take Exodus 14, 19, and 20 and put it on your refrigerator. Better still, you need to put it in your heart. And God is not only a light to you, but that same cloud is a darkness to others to keep them from you and to make sure that you are kept, for he says you are the apple of his eye. Isn't that good? God is so good. The Lord is merciful. Romans chapter 2, we'll be through. Book of Romans chapter 2, verse number 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. If your heart is hard and you will not repent, then God is treasuring up darkness for you, because he's going to render to every man according to his deeds. Now listen, first of all, verse 7, Romans 2, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, God will give them honor and immortality and eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, yeah, I got it right, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, he's going to give them indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But he's going to give glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons to God. Listen, I don't care what this nation thinks about immigrants. I don't care what people think about you. They don't like you because you're not rich like they are or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. They can show partiality and exclude you. God will not exclude anybody who obeys the truth. He will bring you into the glories of God, and you shall never know by experience what it is to gnaw your tongue in pain because of the thick darkness that God has put you in. And you will never, ever again be around those who gnash upon you with their teeth, who hate you. You will never have to see those in such pain, spiritual pain, that they gnaw their tongues for that pain, and they are cast into outer darkness, and they blaspheme God. Their soul, if this message doesn't do anything else, it ought to make us have some fear. It ought to make us understand that God's serious about this thing, and that's the God that's soon coming back. All of us are going to have to face him eyeball to eyeball. We're going to have to look straight into his face. And this is the God that's going to deal with us. And their soul, there ain't nobody going to be able to say, wait a minute, I want to testify for him. He was a good man. It's over and done with. As the tree falleth, so shall it lie, dear soul. After that, the judgment. It is time now to set the stage for either well done, thy good and faithful servant, or depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This is the time. And dear soul, I've spent my life trying to warn you and make sure you understand, whether you like me or not, that God's serious. And with this awful disease that we got put upon us, and with the ungodliness that we see round about us, Satan is killing human beings. Every day we find somebody being slaughtered in numbers. And if you don't wake up and learn to understand that God can cause darkness so thick you'll gnaw your tongue, and you flee from that darkness, it's not my fault. I've delivered you. My hands are clean. I've delivered you what God told me to deliver. I never had a message like this. Gnawing the tongue. The gnawing of the tongue. May God have mercy on all of us. On me too. Dear soul, it applies to me as well as you. God have mercy. Pray for me as I pray for you.